that we would be better because of what's taken place this morning, the worship of you on your day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So this is my second favorite Sunday of the year, and I almost missed it. Yeah, I was moving right ahead, right along, preparing my next Isaiah sermon, and I don't know if I was eating lunch or whatever, and Tracy says to me, "Isn't it Palm Sunday this Sunday?" And I just went, "Is it?" So all that prep that I had done for Isaiah is on hold. And it's a good thing, I was thinking, it's a good thing that we are maybe still live streaming, because I got something going on right now with my eye. It's, whether it's pink eye or whatever, I don't know. It doesn't itch a lot, but it looks hideous. And it's good. Maybe the camera can't catch it, but Andy's getting so good with this setup that he's got that maybe he's zeroing in on the red. And I'll have to be careful, too, because I'm not going to touch hardly anything in pertaining to the supper here, but that's kind of normal anyhow. However, cleaning up afterwards, you guys will have to wash down. Palm Sunday is the wonderful, triumphal entry of Jesus coming into Jerusalem and the people welcoming him as their king. They really are welcoming him as their king. It's a wonderful moment, don't you think? I wish I could have been there. The Son of God presented himself to the people as the person of the moment, the kingly one to be honored and praised, to be adored. But who was it that the people came to see parading down from the Mount of Olives? Well, this was the seed of the woman, the son of the virgin. It is the descendant of Father Abraham, the son of David, who would restore the kingdom, the branch of Isaiah. The prophet said that the government would be upon his shoulders and called him the healer of the nations. Now, Jesus had been to the temple on numerous occasions. The first time was as a little baby, and it was that old man, Simeon, an upright and devout elder, who met Jesus' parents when they brought him there. And Simeon blessed God, saying, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Well, on Palm Sunday, Jesus was heading toward the temple again, and this would be the last time. And whether the people fully understood or not, they did truly see a king who would judge between the nations over time. And he would decide disputes for many peoples from his heavenly throne. Because of this king, people would and will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And yes, somehow this kingly one would save people from their sins while securing for them the fruit from the tree of everlasting life. Make no mistake, sin and death were the root problems and obstructions of mankind. And victory over such foes had to be won by someone great. Here he is. And the people are peeling down and cutting down branches and disrobing to put upon his path signs of their submission and adoration. Never in the history of the whole world had God presented an opportunity like this for any people. So you have to wonder, what would ever distract and keep a person from being present at the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ? I mean, provided you are not living in China or Germany, where you'd not probably heard about this Jesus, you're far away, you couldn't attend the parade. Otherwise, what would possess a person to neglect this moment? Unbelief. Unbelief is the only thing that makes sense. I mean, if you knew about this Savior King and could get to the procession, then to not want to go means you really don't truly believe that he's that big of a deal. Luke 19, 37 and 38 says, as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Anybody of right mind would be rejoicing and praising God, wouldn't they? Anybody of right mind. So his disciples trumpet their love for him, and the crowd joins the orchestra. Surely all able-bodied lovers of God had done what was necessary to be at this blessed event. So I ask you, congregant, does not our very existence depend upon this man riding in on the donkey? He made you and me. He came to save us. Love for him alone and his kingdom sums up our purpose as humans. And no man will find satisfaction apart from him. So as I asked, what would possess you to neglect this moment? Wouldn't you gather up your wife and your children and run to it? Or really, could it be that you don't believe? Maybe worshiping him is not all that big a deal. I found myself praying more and more recently for my own family members, friends, other pastors who have backslidden children. And I think, why don't they want to worship God? Why don't they want to go to church and meet with his people and adore him? I believe it's because of unbelief. They just don't see him as that big of a deal. Not all believe. Some who came even to the triumphal entry, the parade, some who came to criticize. Luke 19:39, and some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Yeah, I suppose if you're self-consumed, like the Pharisees, you'd better stay at home. Why come? You'd only heap up coals upon your head to fuel more fire in hell. Stay home. The Pharisees would have been better off. Here, however, on Palm Sunday, the streets are wonderfully filled with dutiful activity. The air was engorged with the juices of joyful expectation. If people remained silent, the normally inanimate rocks and trees would begin to rattle and more. All of creation knows its creator, and so it was proper that men's soul-filled shouts of joy relieved the pressure. I believe not until the resurrection and later the ascension of Jesus Christ has there been a greater opportunity to worship and adore God than the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday. Yes, God was with them, Emmanuel. And he had grown up among them in the person of Jesus Christ. He taught them, he healed them, he performed miracles and demonstrated his power over nature. He proved he had the power to forgive sins and to raise the dead. Praise and adoration is the proper human response to Jesus Christ. It is the Father's will that we, his children, should love, adore, and obey our brother, Jesus. And since the resurrection, God offers us each Lord's Day an opportunity to attend the event. Countless millions across the globe are invited to come together to praise and adore the Son of David. The church worships now in Germany and China, as well as in Australia and here in America. And as a follower of Christ, only an unsound soul and unbelieving heart would come up with reasons not to attend his worship. For nothing is better and more right than to worship him with the crowd, to honor him and praise and lay down your coat, so to speak, to show him homage. I think it's fair to say we sin against ourselves when we stay away from the worship of our God and Savior. Sin against myself. Is that even possible? Of course it is. We sin against ourselves regularly. The 19th century theologian Horace Bushnell wrote, "Probably the wrongs men do against themselves are 20-fold or possibly even 1,000-fold greater in amount of damage than the wrongs they do against each other. And yet they very seldom think of them as being any wrong at all. They very generally are not conscious of them. And when they are, they think of them as being only indiscretions, imprudences, excesses, such as have a good right to indulge, since they injure nobody but themselves, and which, therefore, they only regret or chastise a little with their tongue, but do not really blame as morally criminal." Now, there's a lot of quote there. It's a great quote. It should make you think. It's a quote that you should put on the refrigerator. And I'll get you a copy if you wish, because people don't always think of their own sin as against themselves and the harm that it does. Clearly, people are broke and need mending. Even Christian people. But the foolish, proud man, the foolish, proud man denies the damage he does to himself internally when he sins. The foolish, proud man denies his selfishness and unbelief. The foolish, proud man denies he is a fool filled with pride and will forever neglect to worship God's Son. And I suggest it's dishonest, though too frequent, to have a mind that criticizes God like the Pharisees during Christ's triumphal entry, or to possess a soul that refuses to trust him for his love and forgiveness, to have a heart beating that harbors self-will and reckless ambition. This is the body. These are the characteristics of a foolish, proud man. And the person with that body is so constituted that they will never worship God. Listen, worshiping God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's really the place to be. He is our daily bread, our manna from heaven. He alone satisfies our purpose as people. And he gives us a special day, the Lord's Day, where we can cease from the distraction of the daily six-day labor and put ourselves among the types of people who willingly cut down branches and lay their coats before the Son of David. For he is our Savior and the High King of heaven and earth. And we are given a great privilege to worship him and to honor him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we as your people would understand this. Lord, I guess I pray also that our own people would have the constitution, the makeup to want to be worshiping you, not only in their day-to-day, but especially on the day you set apart for your body to come together. Lord, I also pray for those who have been so long away from the church. And for whatever their many reasons are, their many excuses are, I pray that you would, especially in these times, break them down to their knees. Cause them to reprioritize, to recognize you for who you are, and to set straight their life. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.